then here we have two shiurim now before Rosh Hashanah. We have to get into the mood. I believe that the Jerusalem Post ad said that I'm supposed to speak about exile and redemption. Is that what it said? Don't tell me you didn't see the beautiful ad in the Jerusalem Post. Don't tell me we wasted all of that money. If you ask when, then you didn't see it. It was Friday on page 2. Don't tell anybody, because I'm the one who suggested that they should put an ad into the Jerusalem Post. Did anybody see it?
Yes.
Yes. Ah! Okay, excellent. Exile and redemption. I have a great deal to say. And I won't be able to say it all, but I'm going to try to do the very best. The focus of the shiur is going to be the Seder, which will be Parashat Ki Kavod, and the Haftorah. I've given you the text of the Haftorah here, and what I'm really going to be doing is comparing, or better said, contrasting, the Seder and the Haftorah. And I believe, and I can tell you the end of the story, is that the Seder is going to be a description of 2,000 years of exile of the Jewish people. That's going to be the main story in the Seder. And the Haftorah is going to be its precise opposite. The Haftorah is going to be a most powerful, poignant, moving description of the redemption of the Jewish people, including the return to Eretz Yisrael and all the rest. If you want to see current events you will find in this Haftorah. Now, just to get you into the Haftorah, there are, well, I'd say three classic psukim. They're all classic, but we're going to point out three. Underlined, the first one underlined is Pasuk Chet, Pasuk 8. Mi eile ka'ovtu feno v'chayonim el arubotehem. The Navi describes how people are going to stand and watch the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be amazed and they're going to ask, who are these? Mi eile, who are these? Of to Ufema, they fly like the cloud, v'chayonim el arubotehem, and like the pigeons back to their home. Mi eleka, it's going to be an amazing sight. What's maybe even a little bit more fascinating is some people are amazed at the sight, and some people don't seem to even get it. But I know somebody who does. It may have been in the papers here, but I was away. I was out of the country for over a week, so I'm not so sure what the papers had over here. But there I was someplace, Esham Ba'olam, you know, we can't tell you where we were. We were someplace in the world. All that I can say is that I got my hands, and I didn't pay a penny for it, a Wall Street Journal, the European edition of the Wall Street Journal. And there it is, from the beginning of the journal to the end of the journal, it's Sarah Palin. You understand? The new world figure. So they have a description of the church in Wallasa, is it, Alaska? Nobody ever knew that the place ever existed. And they have a description of the church that she's a member of. And the description says the following. The church believes, one of the fundamental tenets of this Episcopalian evangelical church, is that the end of days has begun. We are in the process of the end of days. And Wall Street Journal says the Feirish, end of days, according to the church, began in 1948 when the Jewish people began the return to Israel and the state of Israel was established. Halavai of unser Regierung gesagt, that they should look at the state of Israel and keep its Golios in the way in which Sarah Palin's church looks at it. Asha But that is the fundamental principle of the church. And that we are, in other words, I have not yet asked the Shaila, do they hold that it's Sof HaGolos, the end of Golos, end of exile? Do they consider it Atchalta de Geula, the beginning of redemption? Is it Ikvita de Meshicha, you can hear the footsteps of the Messiah? Or is it Reshit Tzmichat Geula, Geulatenu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption? But certainly that's what the church believes. And when that's going to happen, there are going to be those who ask the question, Mi Eile, who are these? Ka'ov Terufena, who fly like the cloud. Who are these that are like doves returning home? So there's the famous, famous part of Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said so beautifully, such a powerful statement. He says there's a difference between clouds and pigeons. And obviously, you know, clouds are clouds and pigeons are pigeons. But the Navi wants to tell us the big difference between clouds and pigeons. Clouds don't move on their own. Clouds move wherever the wind sends them. There is no internal mechanism in the cloud that makes it go here or there or go at all. The cloud, where the wind is blowing, that's where the cloud goes. The pigeon is different. The pigeon has an inborn, ingrained, basic part of its nature. It knows exactly where home is. And it, from any place in the world, that pigeon is going to make its way home, regardless of what happens. So as Cook said, there are going to be two kinds of Jews who are going to return to begin the end of days. Jews, when they return home, there are going to be those that are going to be moved by the wind. All gates in the world are closed. One little door opens up, the wind is blowing toward Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to come here. And then there are others. The others are those who know what Eretz Yisrael is, have yearned and longed for it all of their lives. When they get onto that nefesh, the nefesh flight, you understand, they are going home. I mean, of course, many of us here are, we're pre-Nefesh B'Nefesh. We're old-timers over here. But there's the pigeon who knows exactly what's going. There's this inborn part of its nature going home. What Rav Kook is saying, I believe, expresses itself in a number of other ways. In a number of other ways. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we're going to read the Haftorah in Yirmiyahu. Famous Haftorah, a voice is heard on high, wailing and crying. It is the cry of Rachel, who bemoans the fact that her children are not with her in Eretz Yisrael. And God tells her, don't cry, withhold your tears, because I promise you, there are two promises that God makes to Rachel. One is, V'shavu me'eretz oyev, your children will return from the land of the enemy. And then a second promise is, V'shavu banim l'gvulam, the sons will return to their families. I believe these correspond precisely to the cloud and the pigeon. The one who comes from the land of the enemy is coming as a result of a push and a shove. The one who's coming, the son who's returning home, is coming because of a pull. V'shavu me'eretz oyev, those are the ones who are going to come like the cloud, but it doesn't make any difference, you know. The Rav Hirshon wants to get his children back home, he will use any means that are available to him. For that matter, I should say all means are available to him. And there are those who are going to come by virtue of the fact that the wind is blowing in that way, and they're returning from the land of the enemy, they had to get out. And then there are those, of course, who are bombing, returning, returning to their boundaries. There's only one thing that's a little fascinating about all of this. And it seems that the ones who have to come, come here en masse before the ones who want to come. It should be the other way around. And I said en masse because the fact is, children returning to their boundaries started already 200 years ago. 1776. Yes, so you can tell me that, yes, that's when Washington was freezing in Valley Forge and Nathan Hale said, give me liberty or give me death. Is he the one who said it? I don't know. Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. It was also the same year that the Vilna Gaon sent his first group of students to Eretz Yisrael because he believed by virtue of the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, we can bring about redemption. We can bring about. I was looking into a Chabad pamphlet. Lately there are Chabad pamphlets being given out to the shuls that are nearly like a sefer. And it has the Parshat HaShavua, it has the Daf Yomi, and it all sorts of fascinating things. I saw something there from the previous Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson, where he says, in Shir HaShirim there are two psukim. I mean, there are many psukim, but two that seem a little bit similar. One is, Dodi Li Va'ani Lo. And then there's the famous Elul pasuk, which is Ani l'dodi, v'dodi li. Right. The first one is Dodi li, Dodi, my beloved is God. Dodi, my beloved is for me. That means it seems God takes the first step, v'ani lo, and I respond to him. Ani l'dodi, v'dodi li, which are the letters of Elul. Ani l'dodi means I take the first step. I go toward my beloved, and then Dodi Li, my beloved, responds to me. So he said the following, that Dodi Li, Vanilo, that's the month of Nisan. In the month of Nisan, which is the month of miracles, it is God who took the step. Dodi Li, he took the first step. Va'anilo, and I responded to him. In the month of Elul, the one who has to take the first step, Jewish people have to take the first step. We have to let God know, Ani l'dodi, I am the one who was for my beloved, and my beloved to him. I believe that these two psukim also represent the two different kinds of people that we're talking about. The ones who come from the land of the enemy. How did Jews get out of Egypt? Jews got out of Egypt and God promised that he's going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. They are shavu me Eretz Oyev, they're coming back from the land of the enemy. God is blowing the wind that is taking them to Eretz Yisrael. Elul represents those who take the first step themselves. Ani l'dodi, I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. So, this is one pasuk, of course, that is an extremely significant pasuk that gives us an insight into the Haftarah. But then there is the last two psukim of the Haftarah. The next pasuk is a very famous pasuk. We say it before Pirkei Avos. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek lo lam avo, all of Israel have a share in the world to come. Shenem, as it says, va'ameil kulam tzadikim, your people are all righteous, la'olam yirshu oretz, they will inherit the earth. Neitzer mata'ai, they are a branch of my planting. God says, I planted them. Ma'ase yodai lehispoer, they are my handiwork of whom I take glory. Ameich kulam tzadikim. Fundamental, that means one may not look like he's a terribly Orthodox or observant individual, but the friendship says there, Amin Mayat, my people, Kulam Sadiqis. And Hakoton, the last Pasuk, Hakoton, Yel Elef, the smallest shall increase a thousandfold and become Goy Otsum, a mighty nation. Ani Hashem, Be'ita Achishena. Those two words, Be'ita Achishena, translation is, in its time, I will hasten it. This, of course, is a... These are two words that are the behind all of the discussion in what period of history do we live. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that when the time comes for the redemption of the Jewish people, it is going to happen quickly. The kind of events, and by the way, that's true, events move far more quickly in our days than they ever did before. It would take 500 years to accomplish certain things that I've done over here from day to day. You understand? I mean, what are you talking about? It took me years until I moved from a tape recorder to an MP3. Now I begin to find out that an MP3, well, I should look at MP3 and not by MP4 and MP5. I can't keep up with all this. Now we're into iPods and iPhones. I was in a store someplace and I saw one of those phones, you know, that you use your finger. I wanted to buy it. Things move quickly. Be'ita, in her time, Achishana, when the time comes, it will be hastened. The Gemara says on these two words, and Rashi here quotes precisely what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the redemption will come in one of two ways. One of two ways. There is an end of days. There's a time that was determined by God for the redemption. And that will happen regardless of what condition the Jewish people find themselves in. We'll get into the question of is tshuva, is redemption necessary in order that the... is tshuva necessary before redemption? Or can redemption, or certain stages of redemption happen even if Jews are totally unworthy of it at all? This is a machloket in the Gemara, and the Gemara says the following, that Zachu, if Jews are worthy, Achishenu, God will hasten it. Even if the time, the predetermined time, is yet far off. But if we become worthy of it, then God will hasten the time of redemption. Lo zachu, if Jews are unworthy of it, then regardless of the circumstances, it will come be'ita in her proper time. Gemara goes on to say, basically, that the difference between a redemption in its proper time, sort of in God's supernatural, natural order of things, that is something that will come within the folds of history. In other words, the skies aren't going to open up and Mashiach is going to come flying down. It will all be camouflaged or concealed within nature. There will be a natural process. And maybe when there's a natural process of this sort, it takes people a little bit longer to get what's going on. The Gemara asks a question. There's a contradiction between two psukim. There is a pasuk that describes Mashiach as Oni Rochev al Hachamor, a poor man who's riding on a donkey. On a donkey. And then there's another pasuk in Daniel that says, Va'adru, and behold, Imamane Shmaya, God, with the clouds of the heavens, here's Mashiach coming to us. One pasuk, the Gemara says, one pasuk obviously is describing Mashiach as a supernatural phenomenon in one single moment. Great redemption is going to come for the Jewish people, and in its wake there will be redemption for the world. The other, the donkey, the Mashiach who rides on a donkey, represents something that comes slowly, slowly. Not miraculous, slowly, step by step. So here also, the Gemara says, if we are worthy, then it will come like in a great burst from heaven. If we're unworthy, then it's going to come step by step. Be'ita achishenu is the fundamental principle that I would say in great measure has been the source of great debate over the last 100 years. There were those who believed that the only possibility of redemption is when Jews are absolutely worthy, and then it's going to come in a miraculous way. Anything that is done in any other way simply cannot count as part of redemption. So then if you begin with such a mindset, then you're incapable of seeing what has taken place over here. If that's the mindset, then obviously Sarah Palin's church is going to see a great deal more than you will. If you feel that it has to be miraculous, the Gemara says it doesn't have to be in miraculous fashion. And there's the famous statement of the two rabbis that were walking together in the Valley of Arbel. You know where the Valley of Arbel is? Right up there near Tiberia, the great Valley of Arbel. And one, they saw the sun beginning to rise, dawn beginning. And he said, Kachi Gul Atam Shel Yisrael, this is the way the redemption of the Jewish people will take place. Kima Kima, little by little, bit by bit. So this Be'ita Achishena is a fundamental principle of the possibilities that exist. The possibilities that exist, and by the way, one can also say, I'm not sure, does a cloud go quicker than a pigeon, or both of them, you know, if a cloud and a pigeon stop together, will they both reach Eretz Yisrael at the same time, or is one quicker than the other?
Depends on the speed of the wind.
It depends on the speed of the wind. That's a very good point. It depends on the speed of the wind. I would say that in our days, the wind was moving very quickly. In a matter of 3, 4, 5 years, 1 million Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael, something that hadn't happened in the 5,700 years before that. That was it was quite a wind. It was quite a wind. Let's turn over for a moment. Number five is the Or HaChaim. Just take a quick look at the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim is on the pasuk in Parashat Balak, the end of Parashat Balak. Bilam, the one-eyed monster, you understand, tells Balak what's going to happen at the end of days, and he says, "Ed Enu, I see it, v'lo ata, and it's not now. Ashurenu, I can sort of glimpse it, and it's not close. Dorach kochov me Yaakov, a star is going to shoot out of Yaakov, the kom shevet of Yisrael, and a tribe of Israel or rulership is going to arise over Israel." So the pasuk, that pasuk is fascinating. Everything is in doubles, pairs. Et enu, I see him, below atob, and not now. Ashurenu, I can espy him, below karo, and it's not close. Dorach, kochav, me Yaakov, out comes a star from Yaakov. Kom shevet mi Yisrael, a ruler arises in Israel. Everything in the pasuk is doubled. So he says the following, Kefal hadvarim b'milos shonos, things are being repeated in different words. Gam kofaloma dorach kochav, the shooting star, the kom shevet, and there arises a ruler. Gam kofal, the last part of the pasuk is He crushed the people of Moab. He destroyed the children of Shem. What does it all mean? The entire prophecy was said with regard to King Mashiach. And to explain this pasuk, we have to use the words of our rabbis. Shomru, the pasuk who said about the pasuk, Be'ita Achishena. Our pasuk, the end of our Haftorah. Be'ita Achishena. In her time I will hasten it. Zochu, if Jews are worthy, Achishena will hasten it. Lo Zochu, and if they are unworthy, Be'ita will come in its time, v'hurocho muflag, and that then something that's far off, v'zelecho ha'ot, and I says, listen to what what he says, hinei onu v'tkilas mea hashishis le'elef hashishi, we are the beginning of the 600th year of the 6,000. When was that? We're in the 5,000, from beginning, from the year 5,000, we're 5,768, beginning with 5,001, that's in the 6,000. By 5,001, 5,005 millennia have already passed. We're in the 6th, we're all living in the 6th millennia, okay? And he says we are in the Me'ah Hashishis Le'elef Hashishi. That means the Arachayim is talking about 5,560. 5,500, 200 years ago. A little more than 200 years ago. That's exactly when the Arachayim lived. Ukeneged Beis Kitzim Elu, and corresponding to the two possible ends of days, this pasuk is speaking about. No, first he's telling you that it's the last, it's the 6,000, because the model says that the world is going to last for 6,000, the world as we know it today, with war and pestilence and sinna and race and terrorism, no more than 6,000. In other words, once we are already in the 6,000, that this and we're coming, we're already in the last quarter. We're in the last quarter of the 6,000. It's getting close. Okay. And it may even happen before the Kadima primaries. That really would be divine intervention. And before the municipal elections in Yerushalayim, but we're not going to talk about that. All right. Keneged im zochu, corresponding to if they are worthy, he says erenu. I see it. Erenu means I see it clearly. Ashurenu always means when you see something from the distance. Bilam is saying erenu. I see it. Below Ato, it's not right now, but it's soon. Ashurenu, I see it off in the distance below Karov, but it's not close. He is talking about the two possibilities. He's talking about Be'ita, and he's talking about Archim Shema. Is it off in the distance? Or, you know, Otot, it's coming now. Keneged in Zohu, corresponding to the Jews are worthy, he says, Enu, I see it. That which I'm going to tell you now, I see it. It's not right now, at a different time. It's not that far. Our rabbi said, the Jews would do tshuva as they should. They would be redeemed immediately. If they would only be one day in Golos and they would do tshuva, they would be redeemed. The ksiv, because it says, we say it in Davening, Yamcha Hashem b'yom tzara, God is going to answer you in the day of tzara. Even if all you had is one day of tzara in the exile, and you did tshuva, it could have all been over. And then, Keneged Kades Be'itah, corresponding to the end of days, which is Be'itah, coming in its time, not hasten, in its time. There, Bilam says, Ashurenu, Ashurenu, I can see it off in the distance. Kemoshet Sofer Merachok, as somebody looks from the mountains, from far away. Vuhu Omro, that's when he says, Ashurenu, Velo Karov, and it's not close. Ki Hakeid shall be ito Oroch Ad L'Mi'od Ba'avonos, because the end of time that's going to come in its preordained time can be pretty, pretty long. Now, if you move down to number 6, just the last 2 lines in an Orach Chaim in Parshat Bahar. Ki Keitz Hakalut Yeshno Afilu Yiyu Yisroel Rishoyim Gemurim Chas V'Shalom. This is an extremely important position in our Shkafa. The end of days that is preordained and predestined by God will come even if Jews are completely Rishoyim, absolutely evil. And that's, of course, a position that not everybody in the Torah world ascribes to, but the Orach Chaim is a heavyweight, you understand. Orach Chaim HaKodesh says, even if Jews will be the Shoyim Gemurim Chas V'Shalom, God will redeem them. And I have to get to the point. You know, we haven't gotten to the point yet. We're only leading up to the point. We are now in the 6th week of the 7 Haftarot of Consolation. Beginning with Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, we had learned some while ago that there are 3 Haftarot of punishment. Those are the 3 Shabbatot in the 3 weeks between Shiva, Asar, Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. Following that, there are 7 Haftarot of consolation, beginning with Parashat Ve'etchanan until Nitzavim. We're in Kitavo, that's number 6. That's number 6. Now, the usual wisdom is, and I've at times ascribed to it, but I'm beginning to get a little shaky on that position. From Bereshis until Pinchas, including Pinchas, the Haftarah is directly related to the Seder. Once you've passed Pinchas, then the Haftarah is not related to the Seder, so general wisdom goes, but is related to the time of the year. We have to have 3 weeks, we have to have 3 Haftarot of punishment. From Beit Hanan until Nitzavim, we have to have 7 Haftarot of consolation, but they're not really related to the Seder in any way. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure about that. And I'll tell you why. Because the halacha is that we're a whole bunch of Haftarahs, and as far as the Haftarahs for the Shabbatot are concerned, there's a certain amount of leeway. And the fact is that there are different customs. You'll take a look sometimes in your city, you'll see the Haftarah of a particular week. I don't know why the one that strikes me now is most. There's one Haftarah for Ashkenazim, one for Svardin. There's another one for the Kehilot in Italy. I mean, all sorts of, there are, to a certain extent, there are different customs. When it comes to the seven Haftarot of consolation, they're all pegged to a Seder. Immovable. Kitavo will always have this Haftarah. Always. Which has led me to believe, especially when I studied this Haftarah, it blew my mind. The Parsha has in it the Tochacha, the curses. 98 or 99 curses. It's an unbelievable description of what of what will befall the Jewish people. Unbelievable description. And then I've read over the Torah, I don't know how many times in the last week. And I've read over the Haftorah so many times in the last week. And I find that it's uncanny. The Haftorah is absolutely, precisely the flip side of the Tochacha. Just about everything that appears in the Tochacha finds its Geula expression in the Haftorah. It would seem that if we would have been given the opportunity to choose Haftorah for Parshat Ki Tavo, we couldn't have come up with anything better in all of Tanakh. You know I love making those broad, all-encompassing statements, but I have already convinced myself that this is really true. There is no more fitting Haftorah than this for the Ki Tavo. What I'm going to do is, I made the... I had no way of providing you with the whole Tochacha for you. I'd have to come in with a safe for you. I'm just going to give you a few examples of what I have in mind. Here is my Chabad booklet, you understand? I like it because it has Chumash and Rashi in large print. And I didn't ever need large print before. So it's good to have it, you know. There are different stages in life. There are stages in life when you buy these little packets for and boy, you have a shas to take with you all over. Yes.
It comes with every great grandchild.
It comes with every.
To be larger than
one. I don't have one yet. I don't have one yet. We're working on it. Here. In the Tochacha, one of the themes of the Tochacha is darkness, night. I'll give you, I'll just read you a few psukim, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You are going to grope your way around in the middle of the day, in the way in which one who is blind feels his way in the darkness. You're not going to be successful in whatever you do. A description of darkness. Here. Anyway, there are psukim in the Haftorah that talk about darkness. I'll find some more as we're going along, but I listed a whole bunch of them. It's going to be dark. It's going to be dark. It's going to be dark. Take one look at Haftorah. Do you know what Haftorah is talking about? Light. Brilliant light. And it begins with that. Kumi Odi, arise and shine. Kivo Oreh, because your light has arrived. Ukvod Hashem Olayim Sarach, and the glory of God is shining upon you. Ki hinei hachoshech yichash chase ha'oretz, darkness is going to cover the earth. V'arofel me'umim, and a dense cloud is going to cover the nations of the world. V'olayich, and upon you, yizrach Hashem, God is going to shine. Ukvodo olayich yedoeh, his glory will be seen upon you. Not only that, you're going to be the source of light in the world. The idea of Or Lagoyim, a light unto the nations. The Hochu Goyim La Oreh, the nations are going to march by your light. Umelochim Le No Gazarchech, and kings, by the brightness of your shine. A whole different story. The Sedra, darkness. The Haftarah, brilliant light. The, well, we were talking about, Mi Eile Ka'ov Tu Ufen of the Chayonim Elaru Botem. What's that? That's talking about Kibbutz Golios. Jews returning to Eretz Yisrael. But wait a minute, it's not only that. Take a look at Pasuk 4 in the Haftarah, the Pasuk that we're up to. See, Sohi Benayach, lift your eyes and look all around. Uri'i, take a look, open your eyes and look. Kulam Nikbitzu Bo Ulach, all have gathered and come to you. Bonayach Meirachot Yavo. Your sons are coming to come from afar. Ubnotayach Altsar Te'omano. And your daughters are going to be held on the side and brought. What are you talking about? Everybody's coming home. Everybody's coming home. And what does the Sefer talk about? The Sefer talks about Jews being taken off into the exile. I'm going to read from the Sefer, V'nisachtem, and you will be dragged out. May Al Hadama from the pond of the Hashemah tell Boshom Olidishta that you come to inherit. The Hefitzko Hashem b'chol ha'amim, and God is going to disperse you amongst all the nations. Mi kitzei ha'aretz, ad kitzei ha'aretz, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. By the way, you can learn the Sefer, and as you are learning the Sefer, you can not only see the horrors, but the Torah was right. I mean, the description is true. Is there a place in the world that Jews didn't end up in the course of the last 2,000 years? Well, is there a place in the world that you can go you may not have a minyan to mincha every place in the world, but there's going to be a general store. There can be something over there that's Jewish. And that's not the Shiv Hashem Itzkayim Bani. God is going to take you by boats. He's going to take you back to Egypt. And Rambam points out that's exactly what the Romans did. The Romans took many Jews, put them on ships, and sent them out of the country. And they ended up in Egypt. There's another theme in the Sefer, your sons and your daughters. Sons and daughters. Bonim ubonos tolid, you're going to give birth to sons and daughters below you, they shall not be yours, ki yelchu bashevi, because they are going to be taken off into captivity. There's another pasuk about sons and daughters being taken off, and you won't. You will lose your sons and daughters. And what did we see over here in the passage that we just read? See, Soviv Einayach, Uri'i Kulam Nigbitzu Bo'ulach, Bonayach Meirachot Yavo. Bonim Ubanos is a theme in the Sefer, it's a theme in the Haftarah. Meirachot, the idea of distance, far distances, appears in the Sefer, and it appears in the Haftarah. Here is that other pasuk. Bonecha ubenotecha netunim la'am acher. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people. Ve'enecha ro'ot, and you see it. Ve'cholot aleim kol hayom. And your heart goes out for them. Ve'en le'el yodecha, there's nothing you can do. Some of the Farshim say these two psukim that talk about bonim ubonos. One is sons and daughters that are taken off into captivity. And then there's this pasuk, your sons and your daughters given to another people. So they say the difference is the following. Yes, there are going to be those who will be physically taken away. I mean, and in a sense, in a very real sense, we have a whole country over here that has been wrapped up in the idea of bonim, and now a ben, and maybe still bonim, who've been taken off into captivity, you understand? And I don't know why, but we seem to be helpless. I don't know. We're negotiating away the whole country, and I haven't seen anybody say it. We're not going to talk about anything until Gilad Shalit is home. You're not going to have electricity. You're not going to have water. Nothing. 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 I don't understand. I don't understand. It makes me crazy. Yehu Bashevi, they're taken off in the captivity, and we're sitting around doing what?
Don't tell us.
And then, the Bonecho Ubenosecho Netunim La'amache, the other passage that talks about your sons and daughters given to another people, you know what that passage in the Parsha says? You know what that passage is talking about? Sons and daughters that are going to be influenced and spiritually and culturally torn away from you and given la'am acher, and you can't do anything about it. Today, most probably, that's the worst plague of the Golos. Rampant intermarriage and assimilation. It's unbelievable. There is another theme. There's another great theme in the Seder. Maybe they go together. The Seder talks, you are going to be emptied of all of your wealth. What grows in the fields, whatever it is that you amass, everything is going to be taken from you, going to be left absolutely empty, poverty-stricken, penurious. The Haftorah is going to be talking about awesome abundance that is going to be brought to you from all the nations of the world. Let's look at the Haftorah first. Pasuk Hen, Oz Tidi V'Noharet, then you will see and be radiant. Ufachab V'Rochab L'Vavarech. Fascinating. This is a fascinating pasuk that in and of itself it deserves a shiur. There will be these two contradictory emotions. There's going to be a sense of pachad. There's going to be a certain kind of fear, attention, and anxiety. And then v'rochav, there's going to be an expansive feeling. Take a look at what's happening. I don't know, is the pachad possibly the idea that, is it really true? Is this going to last? Or God forbid, this is another passing stage in Jewish history. And who knows what's going to happen later. Ufachat v'roch, l'gabeh, ki yehofech alayeth hamon yam. For the affluence of the West shall be turned over to you, and the wealth of nations shall come to you. Chel goyim yavolach. Shifas gemalin, an abundance of camels to chaseh will cover you. Bichrei midyon ve'efor, the dromedaries of midyon and efor, all those of Sheba shall come. Gold and frankincense. We're talking about a tremendous amount of wealth that's going to be coming to Eretz Yisrael. Look, keep going. It just keeps going. Kodesh on Kedar yikavsilah. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered unto you. Elei nevoyo, the rams of the Magog shall sunef. Yalwa ratzon mizbechi ubeit tefarti afa'er. I will glorify my home with all of that. There will be another 5, 6, 7 psukim. Take a look at Pasuk 13. The glory of the Lebanon will come to you. There's another related thing. In the Sedra, it talks about the fact that we're going to be downtrodden, we're going to be enslaved, we're going to do all of the menial labor of the nations of the world, we're going to be a people terribly, terribly enslaved. And then in the Haftorah, take a look at the next. Let's read Pasuk 9 and 10. Ki li iyim yikavu, for unto me shall the island dwellers gather, v'an yot Tarshish barishonah, and the boats of Tarshish. The Sedra talks about Jews being taken away in boats. And you know what's going to happen with these? Here's the other Pasuk in the Haftorah. We had already one about Bonayich Ubinotayich. Here comes another one, Lahavit Vanayich Meirachok, to bring your sons from afar. Kaspam Uzahavam Itam, their silver and their gold with them, L'shem Hashem L'kayach, L'kadosh Yisokim, Ve'aroch. And here comes the great change. Uvanu B'nei Nechar Chamotayich. Your walls are going to be built by strangers. I don't know, does it mean Thailandian? Or you have people who are going to do your menial labor. And in the Torah, the tochacha, the curses are that we're going to do the menial labor of the nations of the world. And their kings will serve you. Because in my wrath, in my anger, I struck you. When it became my will, I loved you, and I showered you with mercy and compassion. Your gates are going to be open constantly, day and night. They will not be closed. There will be a time that we won't need a geder hafrada, a wall that separates us from our enemies. And why are your gates going to be open? In order to bring to you chel goyim. We had the word chel before. The wealth of nations will come here. And their kings are going to be brought with them. The nation or the kingdom that will not serve you, your Veda will be destroyed. And the nations will be destroyed. Completely different than the Seder. The Seder talks in many tzukim about how downtrodden we are going to be before all of the nations, of the world. The Seder says you will be struck before your enemies. You will go out one way against them, and in seven ways you will flee from before them. Ay, vey. And you're going to be the one who will build their gates, and everything that you grow and that belongs to you, everything is going to be taken away. Ah, you will come to a nation that you don't know. And you are going to worship other gods there. And here Rashi makes a very fascinating comment. There you are going to serve or work for Goyim Davim. I think that you will be serving nations who worship other gods. That's how Rashi explains it. You know why Rashi explains it that way? Because the Rambam points out there's a tochacha in Parshat Bechukotai, there's a tochacha in Parshat Ki Tavo. The tochacha in Parshat Bechukotai talks about the period of the first Bet HaMikdash, Churban HaMikdash, Galut Bavel, then of course comes the return. Kitoho is talking about the destruction of the second temple and the long exile toward whose end we are coming now. And Ramban has many proofs, but one of the proofs is that, first of all, in Parshat Bechukotai, it says that you will be in exile until you will be forgiven for the years of Shemitah and Yovel that you didn't keep, which were a total of 70 years. There was an end. The earth will regain its strength, and then you're going to come back. In Parshat Bechukotai, it talks about the sin of idolatry that existed in the first temple, did not exist in the second temple at all. So therefore, when it says over here, you will serve other gods, it doesn't mean literally you're going to serve other gods, because that never happened. What it means is you're going to be serving people who serve other gods. That's how Rashi explains it. All right, let's go. let's read another few. So you know what? You'll even believe me. You'll even believe me if you go through the Seder. you'll see how it's just uncanny that the Haftarah is the precise flip side of the Seder. And I say again, I don't believe there's another Haftarah as perfectly matched to a Seder as this one. And then of course there's the Halacha. I have it on the sheet, but I'll tell you, the Halacha is that the Chukotai has to be read before Shavuos. You know what we really do? The Shabbos before Shavuos is always Bamidbar. That means we read the Tochacha in the Chukotai, Bamidbar, Yom Tov. Ki Tavo, this week's Seder has to be before Rosh Hashanah. We read Ki Tavo this week, next week there'll be Nitzavim, then comes Rosh Hashanah. Why? It's on this that the Gemara says, Tichle Shana Vekilalo Teha, let the year and its curses be ended. The year and the curses ended is the Kriyat HaTorah of this week. So, in sum, what we're saying is that you know what I'm saying? When I made the title for this year as Exile and Redemption, what I had in mind simply was the Seder is exile and the Haftarah is redemption. You have two sides. It wasn't just one of these titles that you just pull out of your sleeve. The title is really what the Shiur is all about. That the Seder, at its very heart, is the story of exile. And the Haftarah is the great, great story of redemption. Let me just read a few psukim at the end. 18. Here we can go. Lo yishoma ol chomos ba'artzeh. This is one of the great psukim of Yeshayahu. There shall no longer be violence heard in your land. Oy, is this a bracha? Lo yishoma od chamas, read it chamas if you want, read it chamas. Lo yishoma od chamas, it showed for sheva bigvulech. Neither plunder nor breakage in your borders. The karoso yeshua chamosayech, usharayech tehillah. Your walls are going to be God's walls of salvation. Lo yeloch od shemesh lo or yelom. Didn't I say that the whole theme of that Torah is light? The Tochach is darkness, the Haftorah is light, as it started with Kumi Ori Kivoyerech, and here it comes back to that theme at the end of Haftorah. Lo Yeloch O Shemesh Lor Yomam, the sun will no longer be the light of day. Ulanoga HaYoreach Lo Yoiloch, it won't be the moon that is going to give you light. Oy, V'hoyeloch HaShem Lor Olam, God is going to be your eternal light, the Elohim, the Tifarted, and God is going to be your glory. Lo yavo shimshech, your sun will no longer set, v'yirechech lo yeh osef, and your moon shall not be gathered in. Well, there was some other great empire where the sun never set, but boy does it set over there. I'm not even sure it rises over there. Just met somebody from England. Oh, we're talking to somebody from Manchester that I think it was. 40 days of sun in the last year. But when it says about Klal Yisrael, your sun will never set for you, because God is going to be the light of your world, the Shomu Yemei Evleich, and the days of your mourning will have been ended. It's an unbelievable after. I read it over and over again. The Seder is exile, Haftorah is redemption, and Tichle Shana Bekilalot Tzeh.